And here we go. So this weekend is a big weekend for the WWE. Saturday night, the 18th, which is technically tomorrow as I record this, we have NXT TakeOver Brooklyn, and then Sunday is SummerSlam. Not going to lie, not overly excited about both of these shows in its entirety. Just on the onset, I'm more excited about NXT TakeOver Brooklyn than I am SummerSlam. Maybe it's because I was just treated to some of the most amazing wrestling in the world today with New Japan Pro Wrestling's G1 Climax. I mean, some of these block matches that happened, including the finals and the semifinals, were just simply unbelievable. I wonder if that siren's going to pick up. Anyways, so let's just look at the cards real quick. NXT TakeOver Brooklyn, again, happens Saturday night. August the 18th, the Barclays Center. It's Brooklyn 4. They've already advertised a match being taped, that'll be taped Saturday, but not aired until NXT on Wednesday night in Pete Dunne versus Zach Gibson in a singles match for United Kingdom Championship. Pete Dunne has to retain. He's been champion for over 450 days at this point. Brock Lesnar's only the only one longer than him as a current champion. And ultimately, I think you're going to see Pete Dunne overtake Brock Lesnar's record. I mean, until they get the NXT UK TV show up and running and start doing some feuds there, I don't see how they can switch the title off of Pete Dunne. Especially seeing how Zach Gibson, although he was in this UK tournament this time around, hasn't really established himself as a guy that WWE is going to go with going forward with the UK title. And also, I really would like to think that they're not going to have this title change take place on a taped show. I think it's going to take place on a live show. But, I mean, I could be wrong. You absolutely never know. On the main card, Shayna Baszler against Kairi Sane for the NXT Women's Championship. Baszler being the champ. I hope Sane gets the title, but we'll see. Also, Velveteen Dream versus EC3 in a singles match. We got the Undisputed Era, Kyle O'Reilly, Roderick Strong, versus Mustache Mountain and Tyler Bate and Trent Seven for the NXT Tag Team Championships. This match is going to be phenomenal. We already know it. They've had two unbelievable matches. The one on the air July the 11th was given a 5-star rating by Dave Meltzer and the Wrestling Observer, and deservedly so. So I can only imagine what these guys are going to do at the Barclays Center Saturday night, tomorrow night. So I'm very excited about that. Adam Cole against Ricochet for the NXT North American Championship. That should be a great match. And Tommaso Ciampa against Johnny Gargano for the NXT Championship in a last man standing match. So I'm going to take back what I said about not being as excited for the shows this weekend because I'm exceptionally excited now for TakeOver on Saturday night. So many great wrestlers. But if you notice, Undisputed Era dominating the card with two of the five matches that are going to air. Mustache Mountain getting another title shot. It's awesome. Can't wait for that. Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano, yet another chapter in their story. And technically, it's the third bout between Kairi Sane and Shayna Baszler. Yeah, we'll see what happens with that one. And Velveteen Dream versus EC3 probably should be a good match. So I think Saturday night, you're definitely going to have a solid show. Rolling into Sunday, though, August the 19th at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, we got a bigger show. There's 13 matches in total advertised. Two of them on the pre-show, the first being one of the matches I'm actually looking forward to the most this Sunday, which is the B-Team, Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel, defending the Raw Tag Team titles against the Revival and Dash Wilder and Scott Dawson. As much as I like the B-Team, I really want to see Wilder and Dawson win the titles. They deserve it. They'll be a fantastic tag team, so I think it's going to be great. Also on the pre-show, Rusev and Lana versus Andrade, Cien Almas, and Zelina Vega in a mixed tag team match. That should be fun. Oh, and also seeing now actually on the pre-show is Cedric Alexander against Drew Gulak for the Cruiserweight title. Okay. Daniel Bryan versus The Miz. Yeah. This is something everybody wants to see, so I'm looking forward to this. Finn Balor versus Baron Corbin. Don't really care about seeing this one again. Shinsuke Nakamura against Jeff Hardy. An actual match, so that'll be interesting. Carmella versus Becky versus Charlotte. If anyone but Carmella walks out of that ring with the title, I'm happy. If Carmella walks out, it's a bunch of crap. Dolph Ziggler versus Seth Rollins, singles match for the Intercontinental Championship. All right, moving on. Braun Strowman versus Kevin Owens, and a singles match for the Money in the Bank contract. If Strowman loses by any means, disqualification, count out, whatever, Kevin Owens wins the contract. So I always enjoy Kevin Owens. I enjoy Braun Strowman, so I'm looking forward to this match. The Bludgeon Brothers against the New Day for the tag titles, from the SmackDown tag titles. Sure. AJ Styles versus Samoa Joe for the WWE Championship. This has all the potential in the world, no pun intended, to be absolutely phenomenal. I mean, the matches these guys had in TNA, Impact Wrestling, whatever you want to call it. I mean, the potential is there for this match just to be off the charts, so that should be good. Ronda Rousey versus Alexa Bliss for the Raw Women's title. Again, Ronda Rousey has surprised me with her skill and ability in the ring, so I don't see Ronda losing. But you never know with WWE. This could go any way, but it's actually will probably be the sleeper match that'll be better than anyone thinks. Yeah, and then the main event. Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns for the Universal Championship. I think I've made it abundantly clear I'm not a Roman Reigns fan, that I can't stand the fact the company's still behind him after all this time, and just not getting it done. I'm also a firm believer that Brock Lesnar's not going to lose the title. And the reason why he's not going to lose the title is because Vince McMahon wants him to carry that title into the UFC octagon, holding it high over his head, or one of his cornermen holding it high over his head. So I just don't see Brock losing to Roman Reigns. And if he does, then I'm damn sure hoping that whoever has the Money in the Bank, rather be Braun Strowman or Kevin Owens, cashes in. Immediately thereafter. So there you have it. 13 matches on the card. Only a couple I really care about seeing. So I'm still going to watch it because I love wrestling. We had a couple of losses this week in the wrestling world. On August 13th, Jim the Anvil Neidhart passed away from, according to Wikipedia and the internet, says he fell down and struck his head, and that ultimately was his cause of death. I don't know if that's true. All I know is that we lost Jim the Anvil Neidhart, and he was not an old man. I mean, he was younger than my dad. He's only 63 years old, and some guy I grew up watching on TV, and the thing about the Anvil to me was his goatee was always the best, and his laugh, you know, I loved his laugh. That might have been a Million Dollar Man laugh, I don't know, but I always loved his laugh, and I loved the Hart Foundation as a tag team when I was a kid, so it's crazy, you know, only being 63 years old. When I heard he died, it's almost like, oh, geez, I'm afraid to know what he died from or what caused it because of everything else that's kind of happened in the past with wrestlers, and you really never know. But so, unfortunately, we lost the Anvil this week. And very next day, we lost one of the Liverpool lads, former tag team partner of Robbie Brookside for All-Star Promotions back in the 80s over the United Kingdom. Doc Dean, a.k.a. Ian Dean. I mean, he had retired from wrestling 20 years ago and was living down in Florida, but it says, you know, again, according to the internet, he passed away from a heart attack, and the man was only 48 years old. I mean, God, that's only 9 years older than me, and I mean, it's kind of crazy. I mean, the Liverpool lads were a pretty great tag team, if you ever had a chance to watch any of their footage. You know, I guess good for Dean for retiring when he was only 28 years old. That's an awful young age to retire, and unfortunately, I mean, the only part of him that we saw over here in the United States was in WCW, and a bunch of squash matches, to Jackie, and, or to Kevin Sullivan and Jackie beating him up, so it's kind of a shame. I mean, he chose to just retire because he did, but yeah, again, it's kind of a shame. But if you ever have a chance to check out his tag team matches with Robbie Brookside when they were the Liverpool Lads again in the late 80s, early 90s, you should. And then in 97, he was in the Best of the Super Juniors tournament, New Japan Pro Wrestling. So that may be your best chance to see him on New Japan World. But anyhow, again, two more losses this week to go with unfortunately, a rough couple of weeks in the wrestling world for wrestlers who have passed away. Going back to the end of July, on July 29th, we lost Nikolai Volkoff, Brian Christopher, and Brickhouse Brown. Also in July, we lost Master Saito. And we lost Parita Morgan down in Mexico. So, rough month. Definitely rough couple weeks for the wrestling world. Anyways, to pick it up from that somber note, I went to a wrestling show recently. Last Friday, August the 10th, I took my two kids and my pal Alex. We met up with my buddy Mikey, and we went and saw IWE Live at the Fairfield Community Center. Unfortunately, not a huge attendance that night, only about 50 or so folks, maybe a little less. Opening match, and there was a lot of trainee talent on the card, and I know everyone's got to start somewhere, but when you have so much of it on the card, it can kind of bring things down. But opening match, Eric Johnson defeated B.F. Summers. Again, I was told Summers was a trainee. He kind of looked like it. Johnson did lead him through a pretty decent match that ended with Johnson sitting on his chest for the three count. Next up, we got, I believe it's Boris Darov or Darov. He's a Russian. Quote fingers. He defeated Jeff James. My daughter hated this Russian because at the beginning of the match, he came out, he pointed at me from inside the ring, and he called me a pig. Yep, he called me a pig in a very evil voice with a gnarly finger pointed right at me, and my daughter took tremendous offense to that accusation and was screaming that she hated him. And after he won the match, after he defeated Jeff James with a fireman's carry slam, he called my daughter a pig, which made her cry. So, it was a good time at wrestling. I don't know. Watching her with her complete innocence at 9 years old, thinking what she's seeing is real, and just being completely lost in it, I think that was the most entertaining part for me all night long. Because I love my daughter, and she doesn't really care for wrestling that much, but for whatever reason, she wanted to go. And there was a ladies' match on the card, so that made it even nicer for her. But, to watch her get caught up in it and act the way she did was pretty awesome, actually. Next up, Jasmine Hawks defeated Lila Dare in a pretty decent, solid women's match. Jasmine, only 16 years old, looked pretty good. It's got a long way to go, though. For being 16, one with her feet on the ropes, so you know she's the bad girl in the match. Next up, Triple Crown Champion Jason Rumble, the Alpha Dog, the Boston Bad Boy, defeated one half of the Tag Team Champions from the Street, Angel Cross, by disqualification. So the match started out with Rumble giving Cross a tutorial on arm bars and arm locks and how to do them and what to do to get out of them even. So that was pretty good. Pretty hilarious. And then it was a pretty solid match all the way through. Cross is really good. Rumble's been wrestling. I've been watching him wrestle for over 20 years. But unfortunately, Brandino Davis ran in attacking Rumble, causing the referee to call for the bell and giving Rumble the win. This did set up a match later on, after the intermission, a triple threat match between Brandino Davis, Jimmy Limits, and Elite Terrell, the other half of the Tag Team Champions from the Street. And The Street's the name of their tag team, by the way. They don't hail from the Street. But anyways, the match was supposed to happen the next night in Brewer. The winner of this match would get a title match against Rumble the next night in Brewer. And Brandino Davis got the win, pinning Jimmy Limits. And this was a great match. I think probably one of my favorites of the night. And, unfortunately, the next night, I saw that Brandino wrestled for Limitless Wrestling at the Pyro Festival in Hollis, Maine, which I could have gone, but I couldn't, and had some car troubles and never actually made it up to Brewer for his title match. So, unfortunately, those are things that happen in the world of wrestling and independent wrestling. But next up, we got Ricky Williams against a guy named Frank Yeager. Yeager's a trainee. Yeager's punches are absolutely horrendous, and he should just start throwing forearms. I mean, he was actually, like, winding up, and he'd go to punch Williams, and then he'd clap his hands in front of his face, and my daughter even said, "Why is he clapping his hands?" And I said, I don't know, honey. So, yeah, he just really needs to mix things up and just throw forearms if he has to. Next up, we got another couple of trainees in the Guatemalan Prince and Bobby Landell. And I'm not going to lie, this match to me, it started out really good. Like, I was expecting absolutely nothing. And these two guys went out there and they were hitting hard. They were bumping hard. They were putting on a pretty great fast-paced, fast-action match. And it just went too long. And it started to drag. And then they started to kind of, like, almost restart the match. Like, started redoing stuff. Like, the Guatemalan Prince hit four splashes and eventually got the pin with his fourth splash. But, yeah, they should have cut a few minutes out of this match. And then post-match, they did something I can't even understand. Landell attacked Prince with a chair. And then, for whatever reason, Prince set Landell in one of the chairs on the floor and then charged at him and threw himself at him in a cannonball-type move. Landell moved, and Prince just wiped out a dozen chairs or so, took in a pretty nasty bump, and I don't get the context of why that happened, especially after the match was over. But I mean, allegedly it's setting up, I guess, a feud they have, or but it was just, I don't know, it didn't make any sense to me. It didn't seem necessary. But and based on how Larry Huntley separated them both and forced them both to go to the back, I don't think it was, he found it necessary either. And that led us to our main event of the evening, in a dog collar match. Mason X defeated Big Moxie Matt Mahoney when he choked him out with the chain from the dog collar, and the referee had to call for the bell. So this was a great match. I enjoyed it. They used thumbtacks, a barbed wire bat. They used kendo sticks. They used cookie sheets. They used chairs. My daughter was like, "They shouldn't use that stuff. They could hurt each other." And my son is like, "Yeah, yeah, I want to see the tacks." So you see the difference in mentality they have. But I really enjoyed this match. It was solid. They both really went out there and gave it their all and put on a show for the fans. And I thanked them for it. My daughter got her picture taken that night with Lila Dare, Jasmine Hawks, and Rumble. I also got my picture taken with Rumble. I actually got my picture taken with him the first time in August of 1998. And so it's kind of neat to see those two pictures side by each 20 years apart. Anywho, so that was, you can read all about that and see the pictures of this matches and everything else on my blog, The Wrestling Insomniac. Just go to thewrestlingsomniac.com, and it's the, you can click on the right side. It says shows Mike's been to. You can click there, or you just scroll down the page. The most recent post on the old bloggy blog is Ric Flair's Intercontinental Championship reign. So I take a deep dive into Ric Flair's 2005 IC title run, 155 days of glory. As he was his last big singles run in wrestling. His last singles run in wrestling. Not his last championship run. Sorry, last singles championship run. His last championship run was a tag team, a brief tag title reign with Roddy Piper. So, but you can check that out on thewrestlinginsomniac.com. And Brandon's got a couple of other posts coming up he's gearing up to have posted. You can read about his AML Impact, Confrontation Live report from the end of July, and check out my look at the 1990 WWF Intercontinental Championship Tournament as well. And I don't know if you can hear that, I don't know if my recording's picking it up, but it is really starting to rain out there, and I just saw a flash of lightning. I love thunder showers. Absolutely love thunder showers. All right, I want to wrap up this week, actually, by talking about New Japan Pro Wrestling. I touched on it earlier. We just got done with a tremendous 18-card G1 Climax tournament. unbelievable wrestling, like I said. And the New Japan boys are taking some time off after the end of this tournament finished up, and they're coming back September 5th with the Road to Destruction for the Road to Destruction tour, and then eventually, you know, at the end of September, they're going to find themselves over here in the good old U.S. of A. on September 30th at the Fighting Spirit Unleashed card at the Long Beach Walter Pyramid. But the G1 Climax, Block A winner, Hiroshi Tanahashi with 15 points, followed by Okada with 13, Jay White with 12, Suzuki with 10, Evil with 10. Yoshihashi had 6, as did Michael Elgin, Makabe, Pangman Page, and Bad Luck Fale. Over on the B Block side of thing, we had a 4-way tie of 12 points with Kota Ibushi, Kenny Omega, Zack Sabre Jr., and Tetsuya Naito, all having 12 points apiece. However, with Omega's victories over Sabre and Naito, and Ibushi's victories as well, and then Ibushi's victory over Kenny Omega, that makes Kota Ibushi the winner of B Block. 10 points, Tomohiro Ishii, 8 points was Sonata, and then Juice Robinson, Hiroki Goto, Toriano, and Tamatanga all had 6 points. Probably my favorite matches consistently of this card is any match Kenny Omega was in. It was entertaining and awesome. Tomohiro Ishii had some fantastic matches against Toru Yano, which I can't believe I'm saying that, but Toru Yano. He had a great match against Sabre Jr. His match against Ibushi was unbelievable. His match against Kenny Omega was tremendous. Some fantastic matches. B-Block rocked the house for me. I mean, B-Block was unbelievably great as far as match quality is concerned and goes. And as a matter of fact, I'm pretty sure Dave Meltzer rated several of the B-Block matches as 5-star matches. New Japan just continues to put out just top-quality cards, top-quality matches. And not just the single matches in the blocks either were great, but a lot of the tag matches you got throughout the days were great. Leading up to the last couple days of the tournament, you saw New Japan put on a couple of bigger cards. The last night of the tournament in the infamous Budokan Hall saw several great matches, including a six-man tag of Honma, Elgin, and Makabe defeating Yuji Nagata, Shota Umu, and Yoshida. Also, we saw Bad Luck Fale defeat Hanari in just under 2 minutes. Tag team match saw Tai Chi and Iizuka defeated Hiroki Goto and Yoshihashi. What's great about a lot of these matches that happened was, a lot of these guys, is we haven't seen them all month long because of the G1. They haven't been there, but now we're finally getting to see them. Hangman Page and Cody defeated Dave Finley and Juice Robinson in a tag team match when Cody pinned Robinson and then immediately challenged him for the United States Championship. Juice Robinson had some very troubling matches in the tournament, and there's several guys that can claim to want a challenge for the title based on losses he received in the G1 this year. And a six-man tag, the Never Openweight Six-Man Tag Team Championships were put on the line at the last minute, and we saw Tama Tonga, Tonga Loa, and Ishimori defeat the Young Bucks and Marty Scurll when Tama Tonga pinned Scurll to win the six-man Never Openweight Championship tournament matches. We got an eight-man tag with Bushi, Sonata, Evil, and Tetsu Naito. L.I.J. defeated El Desperado, Kanemura, Zack Sabre Jr., Minoru Suzuki when Sonata pinned Kanemura in just about 10 minutes. We got another six-man tag where Jay White, Toru Yano, and Tomohiro Ishii defeated Chase Owens, Yujiro Takahashi, and Kenny Omega when Ishii pinned Owens with his vertical brainbuster. And then we had Sho and Yo and Kazushi Okada lose to Kushida. Rey Mysterio Jr. making his only second New Japan Pro Wrestling match in history. His first one ever in Japan. His first was in the United States in San Francisco at the Cow Palace. And pro wrestler Sengoku Inoue. This is some Fire Pro Wrestling cross promotion. Yeah, I think if you saw the guy wrestle, you'd know who it was underneath that mask. Anyways, and Rey Mysterio pinned Yo to give his team the win. And then in the final match of the night, the finals of the tournament, Hiroshi Tanahashi defeated Kota Ibushi in just over 35 minutes with a high fly flow. And it really was a fantastic match. I mean, an absolutely just fantastic match. So I guess that's it for me this week. You know what, actually? Do yourself a favor. Go back to, I want to say it was the August 8th card. Well, I think it's Wednesday, August 8th. There's a six-man tag that features... hold on. I'm looking for it here. No, maybe it wasn't Wednesday, August 8th. Oh, Friday, August 10th. Sorry, Friday, August 10th. There was a six-man tag that was absolutely just special as all hell. Where you had Nick Jackson, Matt Jackson, and Kenny Omega taking on Chase Owens, Marty Scurll, and Kota Ibushi. Match ended in a no contest in 5 minutes and 20 seconds when the Tongans ran in and interfered. But there was no bumps in this match for the most part. It was awesome. All six men ended up in the ring at different times. But there was no bumps. It was hilarious. It was fun. You really got to go watch it to see it for yourself, just how kind of fun and cool it was. So, all right, that's it. Thanks for listening. Make sure you go check out my podcast. I mean, my blog, The Wrestling Insomniac. You can find some of the those posts I talked about earlier, plus over 300 posts in the archives of things I've talked about in the past, from show results to last match reports to just anything I was thinking about when it came to the world of wrestling. You can also find me on Twitter. I'm @SuperstarML. Go give the page a like on Facebook. It's The Wrestling Insomniac. And thanks.